Hello there, this is Wayne Ranney with the Grand Canyon Historical Society, but I'm acting on my own for this. And it is September the 2nd, 2022, and I'm here at the Biltmore Embassy Suites in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, where it's a cool 107 degrees. And I'm with Mike Buchheit, the former director of the Grand Canyon Field Institute, and we're just doing a little oral history with Mike about his glory days at the Grand Canyon. And Mike, can you just say your full name and your date of birth?
Mike Buchheit, happy to be here with Wayne, good friend Wayne, and birthday January 16th, 1964.
All right.
Just a whippersnapper.
You are just a whippersnapper. So, Mike, I have always been interested in your arrival at Grand Canyon, but I know that you were originally from Iowa. Can you just tell us briefly where you're from in Iowa and how you made your way to Arizona?
Sure, yeah. Well, the short version is I lived in Iowa till I realized I was free to go. That happened about 1989. No, I grew up in Dubuque, Iowa, on the Mississippi River, where Iowa, Wisconsin, and Illinois collide. A little town of about 70,000 people, and went to high school there.
I heard that's a beautiful area.
It's lovely, yeah.
Yeah.
A geologist like you would love it. Glacier
I'll
country.
I'll make it there one day.
Okay. Rolling hills, even a streetcar.
Wow.
Yeah, so not your grandfather's Iowa. State champion basketball player my junior year. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Iowa big schools. But went to the University of Iowa, a few hours away in Iowa City. Studied journalism. And always loved writing, and I thought maybe I could make a career out of this. Took some natural history on the side. I was a good geology school. Graduated, and I had family in Phoenix. My big sister Kathy was already living out here. So I came out for a visit in 1986 after I graduated from Iowa, and loved Phoenix. It put the hook in me. I stayed here for a few months. The economy wasn't too great for a gunslinger like me to roll into town and make a go of it. So I kind of a serpentine way back to Iowa, got a job there in the insurance industry, was a claims adjuster for a few years, always wanted to get back out here. So by that time I met my future wife, Kim Roth was her maiden name, and we rolled into town into Tempe, April 1st, 1989. For what has become a long, strange trip, indeed.
Just very quickly, when you made that first trip in 86, what was it about Arizona that spoke to you? Was it the climate? Was it the lack of green? Was it?
Boy, it was something different.
Yeah,
that's S-U-M-P-I-N, something different. I had never been south and west of Denver before. I'd never been on a plane before.
Wow.
So this was all new to me. So I rolled out here with my cousin Jenny, who was relocating from my hometown as well. And we were just two wide-eyed kids from Iowa just trying to roll the dice out here.
So a lot of bootkites were coming to Arizona, and you just joined the wagon train.
Let's see. Actually, more to the point, on my mom's side. So my mom's maiden name was Meyer. She had a brother out here. He had drawn a son or two out here, and once the word was out, people were starting to come out here.
So you were an insurance adjuster here in Arizona. I know you've told me a few funny stories about that, but
yeah,
very briefly, I guess you did that for a couple years down here in Phoenix?
I did. It was I was a bodily injury claims adjuster for a few different companies, so I'd only get involved if someone got... And one of the cars had an injury. So I'll tell you, it was a lot of field time. It was an excellent way to get to know a town or a city. because anyone can hit anybody and do often in this city. So Merit Insurance was my first company. It was a Chicago company with a satellite office out here just so the owners could golf out here with a write-off, I'm sure of that, tax write-off. Anyway, it was, my German didn't do, 4 years of college German didn't do me much good out here. Guten Tag, Pedro was not a real common phrase in South Phoenix, but I had good bosses. They were good to me, but it wasn't always a great fit. They went out of business. I bounced around from company to company. But one thing I did get out of it, besides a working knowledge of Phoenix, was running around doing a lot of accident reconstruction work, pre-litigation stuff. So I'd be taking pictures of intersections. Cars and scars was how I learned how to use a camera, self-taught.
No shit.
Yeah.
That's how you got into photography.
That's how I got into photography. I didn't know if you'd ask that question. So I was pretty handy. It was all film in those days. And you wouldn't know what you got until you got your contact sheet back. And
right.
Yeah, it was old school. So one of my cousins out here on the Meyer side, Dan, was already a Grand Canyon backpacker. And he enticed myself and his younger brother to go up to the canyon on what would become my first backpack ever. In fact, my first time camping.
Jeez.
Ever. This was in 80s. By then it was 80. Nope, I was back here by then. That wasn't my first time out here. But when I moved back, he got me down the Tanner Trail.
You moved back in 89.
When I moved back in 89.
So my first backpack trip was on the Tanner?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Did everything.
Jump into the fire.
Can I tell you a quick story about that?
Sure.
So, I guess that's why we're here.
Yeah.
So, so he said, all right, I'll bring the stove, you bring the fuel. And I didn't know. I didn't ask any questions. So I went to Popular, which is out of business now, pre-REI. And I bought butane, and he had a propane stove. Or I brought propane, and he had a butane stove. We didn't figure that out till we were pulling trout out of the river. And you know, day one of a four-day backpack. So along came, and I wish we would have taken a picture. Along came an NPS science trip. And we flagged them down. And I don't know who it was. They probably worked for me someday. It was probably Helen Fairley or somebody. And they had some butane. Miraculously, they took my 10 pounds of propane and they gave us some butane to get us through the backpack. And we shot the shit with them and we got a few beers out of it and off they went.
Your life was already blessed.
Oh, hell yeah.
At yeah. Grand Canyon.
Yeah. And I got out of the doghouse with my cousin, you know, because I needed him to get me out of there. But I remember walking out. I think it was a late fall trip. And I remembered seeing, I didn't see Desert View Watchtower on the way in, but the way out I was watching the rim, you know, looking for my false summits. And I'm like, what the hell is that place? And I don't think he knew. I don't think he'd ever been that far east before. He was a big fan of the Hermit and the Boucher. So we were up above the red wall. I was catching my breath, waiting for my the younger brother to catch up with us. And a storm rolled over the Palisades, and it was a sleet and snow and rain.
Jeez.
And a rainbow, a mid-afternoon rainbow. And I remembered looking back at the river. I had never seen the Colorado River before until we stuck a foot in it. And I looked back at that view and I'm like, I don't know what if this is a PG-13 recording.
Absolutely
but
not.
I'm like, fuck, I got to find a way to make a living out of this. And I had just beginner's mind, just
I had never heard this origin story before. Yeah. This is great.
So we crawled our way out of the canyon, and that turned into an annual backpack of sorts. And but it put the hook in me, so I was always looking for a way to get back. And little did I know I'd be, you know, arguably an expert on the resource at some point.
So that's the fall of 89, probably?
That would have been the 90 at the latest. Probably 90.
Okay. So anyway, you had to figure out a way to get back. What did you do to try to get back? How did you begin that search, and where did you even go to start a search?
Well, it was just a pipe dream, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. But we hiked Boucher the next year. We did a Boucher Hermit Loop, got down the BA a couple nights, you know, in the corridor. All this time, I had still never seen the North Rim. You know, I was just absolutely the new kid in town as a backcountry person, kind of getting the hang of it. So I was, by that time, again, I'm living in Phoenix and doing the claims adjuster thing. And Kim and I would run up to the South Rim and dink around a little bit. Fiance Kim, future wife Kim. And always trying to find a way, if I was anywhere within two counties, we'd swing by just for a gander off Mather Point or whatever. And it was definitely my happy place already. Just
wow.
A counterbalance to, you know, driving around in the barrio looking for witnesses to accidents and God knows what else, writing checks, putting out fires. So eventually, Kim, I'll cut to the
wait a minute,
the
just,
big break. Okay, go ahead.
Just a little side note here.
Yeah.
So you were the guy that all of these injury lawyers that we see on TV warn their potential clients about, the insurance adjuster?
I'm exactly the opposite. I was the guy. First of all, our clientele at this company, we're the I can say it now.
Yeah.
We're the clowns that would respond to the radio ads. Dude.
Okay.
What happened, man? You just ran over a busload of nuns. Oh, no problem. You know, I've got, you know, so-and-so insurance company.
Okay, okay.
So I would get the guys that would be, or the people they would run into, I would be calling them and trying to see how bad they were hurt. But no, I was, you wanted me. If
yeah.
you were hurt.
Okay.
Because I was, I'm an Iowa boy. I was a fair broker and,
Okay. Sorry for that distraction. But
not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah. Now, those ambulance chasers. Whoop, second to throw us off.
Well, we got some music playing here. Let me just stop this segment right here. That was, okay, so we've moved to a different place here at the Embassy Suites, and hopefully we're going to continue. And where we left off is that you'd been bitten by the Grand Canyon bug, and I think this is just before the magic moment came when something came your way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was that all about?
That was, my wife, my fiance at the time, Kim, was doing a fellow, despite all the glamour of that claims adjusting job, I still have one eye towards the door. And I remember, my wife was working for the Scottsdale Center for the Arts at the time as their art director. And she took a fellowship in D.C. with the National Endowment for the Arts. So she was gone for about 8 weeks. And while she was gone, I was really jonesing for the canyon. And I remember one day, I remember very well, I thought, I got to see the sunset at the canyon. And I just did a turnaround drive solo and walked out to Yaqui Point. I could tell you the rock I was sitting on.
Wow.
Just to groove with the canyon for a half an hour and then drive all the way home. And again, on the way home, I'm like, how could I make, you know, I think I enlisted the universe. I'm like, how can I make this happen?
Nice.
Still didn't know limestone from a ponderosa pine. I'm just, you know, a blank slate.
Hey, you're from Iowa.
I'm from Iowa. What the hell? I'll learn. We adapt. So, Kim was about wrapping it up in D.C. when I saw what would become her future job advertised. Hold on to your chairs, millennials, in the newspaper. This is all pre-internet. So the classifieds of the Arizona Republic said art director for the Grand Canyon Natural History Association.
Wow.
So I called her in Arlington and I said, I don't care what you do, what else you do today, but you have to apply for this job. You know, the universe was knocking. And she had to run around and get photocopies of her work samples that were back here, and it was not an easy thing to do. But she applied for the job remotely, and didn't hear back. I had never heard of the Grand Canyon Natural History Association or nonprofit, you know, the nonprofit network supporting parks, for that matter. And
it's a nonprofit, Kim, but you're going to get paid.
Yeah, kind of. So she moved back and didn't have any other full-time job lined up. She was she had resigned at the Center for the Arts before she went to D.C. And her future boss, Pam Frazier, reached out and said, hey, if you're still interested in that position, I'd love to talk to you. So she said, do you want to go up to the South Rim? I got a job interview. And I'm like, wow, this is shaping up.
So Pam was a longtime employee of the Grand Canyon Natural History Association, later the Grand Canyon Association. My story intertwines with her as well, but we're not talking about that today. Just to give some background on Pam.
Yeah.
Pam worked there 15 or 20 years.
Close to 20, maybe more than 20. She was a real fixture. Yeah.
Okay.
So we drove up to the South Rim, and Kim sat down and was interviewing with Pam, and I had a few hours to kill. Well, what am I going to do with 2 hours on the South Rim? So I got a little hike down the BAN, and it's starting to sink in that, wow, this could be a thing. So when I came back, they were already on a first-name basis, and it was the old, if I remember it right, well, when you start, I mean when the successful candidate starts, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So she drove us around to look at some possible housing because anyone who works in the park, one spouse or the other has company housing. And my vision was starting to, it was starting to coalesce. Like, wow, this could be. So then we went back to Pam's office and Pam said, well, we'll be in touch. And so we jumped in the car and we're driving home trying to get a good jump on the drive before it got dark. We were living in Scottsdale by that point. And I remember looking over at her as we were rolling past Munns Park on I-17. I'm like, this could happen. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really worried about it at that point. So we noodled it and crunched the numbers when we got home. You know, I had been whining that I wanted to be, I would write the great American novel if I had more time. And her gift to me was that. She's like, I'm going to take the job.
I'll pay the bills.
Yeah. So we called Pam and gave her the good news. And Pam said, what great news for my upcoming birthday. And Kim said, oh, when's your birthday? And she said, April 7th. And Kim said, so is mine. Oh, 20 geez. Years apart to the day.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, it was just happening. So we move. We packed it up and
moved. This has been about 91, 92?
Moved to the South Room. 90, this would have been, we got there in May of 94.
94, when we rolled into town.
Rolled into the park.
Cool. So I'm going to stop the tape here only because that brings us now to the Grand Canyon. And we'll resume in just a second.